ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड दिदी वाउज टू किल किंग इंद्रा। टेक्स्ट नंबर 46।
दितिरुवाच धारयिष्ये व्रतं ब्रह्मन् ब्रूहि कार्याणि यानि मे यानि चेह निषिधानि न व्रतं नत्ति अनियुत।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद। Translation, Diti replied, My dear Brahmana, I must accept your advice and follow the vow. Now let me understand what I have to do, what is forbidden and what will not break the vow. Please clearly state all this to me. Purport. As stated above, a woman is generally inclined to serve her own purposes. Kashyap Muni proposed to train Diti to fulfill her desires within 1 year. And since she was eager to kill Indra, she immediately agreed, saying, Please let me know what the vow is and how I have to follow it. I promise that I shall do the needful and not break the vow. This is another side of a woman's psychology. Even though a woman is very fond of fulfilling her own plans, when someone instructs her, especially her husband, she innocently follows, and thus she can be trained for better purposes. By nature, a woman wants to be a follower of a man. Therefore, if the man is good, the woman can be trained for a good purpose. Translation once again. Diti replied, My dear Brahmana, I must accept your advice and follow the vow. Now let me understand what I have to do, what is forbidden and what will not break the vow. Please clearly state all this to me. This is the chapter, just narration is going on about how Diti wants to avenge the killing of his 2 sons who are demons. Hiranyakashipu. And so she claims or she understands that this, my sons were killed at the behest of King Indra, who is fearful of his position, of his opulence. And just to protect his opulence and position, he has committed this heinous act of inciting Lord Vishnu to kill my own sons. Therefore, the real cause of the death of my sons is not Lord Vishnu, but King Indra. Because he is the one who has conspired, he is the one who has initiated, and therefore he is responsible. And therefore, just as Diti previously is obsessed to have progeny, which was not at a suitable time, and that led to the consequence of having children who are demons. Similarly, here Diti is entering into a second mistake of doing the same thing, insisting what is not favorable. And so we find that Diti insists on her husband to have a son this time, right, to kill her previous children, right, to kill the enemy of her previous children, the killer of the previous children. So, Kashyap Muni hears helplessly the plea of her insistent, persistent wife, and he is lamenting that previously also the situation was so despicable because of this obstinacy of Diti, and again she is trying to perform the same obstinacy. Therefore, what should I do? And therefore, he first of all blames himself for not being able to control his senses. And then later on, describes the nature of a woman by which Diti was helplessly driven to think all of this, to have all of these thoughts. So he thought that this is natural for a woman, but it is on my responsibility to take some corrective action now. Previously, I just fell into the demand, the request, but this time I must intelligently prosecute this demand, which is not so justifiable. So here we find that Kashyap Muni is given her a very nice solution by which she will be able to fulfill her desire. At the same time, she will be purified enough so that she will refrain or she will regret her previous vow of revenge. So, Prabhupada is saying wonderful things here in this purport, that first of all, after describing the whole verses which explain the character, the general nature of a woman, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out one single good quality which can actually diminish all the previous the inabilities in the nature of a woman. And that is what Prabhupada says, that though she is fond of fulfilling her plans, but when someone instructs her, especially her husband, she innocently follows. And the word is innocently. And secondly, is that not only she just follows, but she is trained for better purposes. So, the world is designed in such a way, the Lord has created, that there are miseries after miseries. One problem is finished, the other problem is just waiting, like just like in the assembly line. One product is finished, the next raw materials are ready to be processed and to be completed in the finished product. Similarly, as soon as we tried tackling one problem and just patch it up with some solution, immediately another problem is coming up. And that is the nature of the material world. Once Srila Prabhupada and his devotees were going to Nivrindavan, and that was a uphill road. It was a dirt road, it was not so well constructed. So at one particular junction it was written detour. Detour means take a diversion. In India it is said diversion. So the West it said detour. Temporary inconvenience. And ahead of that was written permanent improvement. Detour, temporary inconvenience and permanent improvement. And Prabhupada commented on this nice signboard, and Prabhupada said, all we received is temporary inconvenience and there is no permanent improvement in this material world. And this was Prabhupada's signboard or Prabhupada's sutra, that there is no permanent improvement in this world. We are always struggling, as Jananivasprabhu was once mentioning, that the whole material nature is against the conditioned soul, including an atom. Even the atom is against the jiva who is bound up in this material world. So, what is the lookout? What should be a devotee's lookout when there is problems and more problems and less solutions? Even though solutions create some problems. That's what the purpose of the material existence is. The first created being, Brahmaji, was in frustration as he was born. Actually, for the child, it is a less frustrating initially, but not so much, because he is taken care of by the parents. But Brahma was born on the lotus flower, and immediately he was in misery. And therefore, we find that led him to the inquiry for the purpose of life, and the purpose of creation, and purpose of this existence, and what is one's role in this material existence. So this is what the impetus is given. And here we find that Kashyap Muni is intelligently driving the whole sequence of happenings so as will lead to a higher purpose. A higher purpose from a lower motivation. So we find that also in the Srimad Bhagavatam at various places. Kashyap Muni is not just finished with this. This is just the sixth canto. And again the eighth canto, the description of the battle between the demigods and the demons comes, where the demons have conquered the demigods. And the demigods are practically forced to go into hiding. And the one who is in distress is now the other wife of Kashyap Muni, that is Aditi. Right? First one was in distress, was Aditi. Right? Because of her children. And this time again, Aditi is in the problem because she is finding that her sons are in distress. Therefore, she prays. She again petitions Kashyap Muni. Kashyap Muni is like a person who receives all the petitions and he has to always prosecute. Right? This petition, okay, what to do? Find a solution. Again, he is with a petition. And this time, petition is that, please, save my sons from being destroyed by the demons and give them protection. Give me a son. Right? This time, her motivation was not to kill the demons. Give me a son who can defeat the demons and who will reinstate the position of the demigods. And Kashyap Muni again, he understands how unreasonable this demand is also. Right? Even though it is for a good cause. Initially, Diti was saying for an evil cause or for a negative cause, because of out of envy. And here, Aditi is petitioning Kashyap Muni because of her natural affection for her children. It was not something negative, it was a positive thing. But Kashyap Muni, being a sage, being a sadhu, he realizes even this is material. Even this situation will not solve the problem because it's a material solution. And therefore, he laments how much this affection for the children that Aditi has is unreasonable and is not going to solve her problem because it is on the bodily conception of life. Therefore, Kashyap Muni is contemplating a solution. And we find his solution is consistent. Right? His solution does not change in principle with time, place and circumstances. And we will find that in case of Aditi and in case of Aditi, it is a similar kind of thing. It is a standard format, but he just adapted for different projects. Like all of software engineers here, they have the same principle, the same coding, but that's for different requirements and different adjustments. But little bit of change and the procedure is the same. And this is four-prong procedure which Kashyap Muni gives. And the first thing he identifies is the root of the problem. And he says the root of the problem is misidentification. And the second step for the solution is that he does not go to find some temporary stopgap solutions, but rather gives a direct solution which is nothing but taking shelter of Krishna. None but accepting shelter of Krishna is the second step. And the third step is to wholeheartedly take to process of devotional service and rise above the problem or rise above the modes of nature by the process of devotional service, which automatically makes you completely aloof from the problem. The problem continues to exist, but you are not affected by the problem. Right? And the fourth step is the proper training, the proper guidelines, the proper direction from an authorized bona fide spiritual master who will engineer, who will steer a disciple's progress very, very steadfastly on the path home back to Godhead. So we'll just see these four solutions. And the first solution is that Kashyap Muni is identifying is that the misidentification. Another parallel that we'll draw in the course of our humble effort to try to put some light on this subject matter, the position of Dhruva Maharaj is also similar to this case. But Dhruva Maharaj is also obsessed by a desire, a one particular desire, one pointed desire that he wants to avenge. Again, the revenge is there. but also to gain a kingdom which is greater than that of Lord Brahma. And for this, he also approaches Narad Muni. So Narad Muni vis-a-vis Kashyap Muni, they are going to give us the path. Because all the time, we are also in a particular problem for which we find very difficult to get a solution. But a solution is all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says that the first problem is that when one misidentifies with one's body, applies designation, gets influenced by the designation, and becomes illusioned by the expectations that these designations create. Like Dhruv Maharaj, why he was so obstinate? Because the Kshatriya nature was inbuilt in him, even at the age of 5 years. And therefore he could not tolerate any insult. Though he was a 5-year-old child, because he was strongly identifying with his Kshatriya spirit, therefore he was bent upon taking this revenge to show his Kshatriya prowess. And therefore Narad Muni's words, good words of advice to refrain from this revengeful mentality, did not appeal to Dhruv Maharaj. And then again we find here that Diti is obsessed with her children being killed. Again, her connection with her children is the cause of the problem. And again, Aditi is thinking that I am the mother of the demigods. Right? Prabhupada says that I am American, I am Indian. These are the problems, these are the designations. And therefore, we create so much of illusion around us. And Prabhupada said that the most dangerous of all dirty things which are there in the consciousness is this bodily identification. And therefore people say that survival of the fittest. But Prabhupada says that they have not understood what is survival. Right? Because survival means not to die. But in this survival of the fittest, everyone is dying. So where is the question of survival? So when they say people that it is survival, it is actually not survival. The real survival is to attain eternal life. And therefore, one must always probe the problem with the root cause is identification with this material body, with this mind and senses which are material. Like once upon, Jayadev Maharaj was sitting on a question answer booth in a Rath Yatra festival, and two huge fat ladies came to the pandal and they were asking some questions. And then in the course of answering question, Jayadev Maharaj says that actually we are not these bodies. And he was about to say that no, we are the spirit souls. They became so happy because they were so much in distress of having these fat bodies. And they were relieved that someone is telling that you are not this body. That means you are not fat. Right? And therefore they were relieved. Just hearing this instruction gives so much of relief what to expect if we actually imbibe and actually live this instruction. So therefore, we find that even Diti or Aditi, even if they are in the region of the demigods, the heavenly planets, still the misidentification, the bodily identification is present even in the heavenly planets. So that is not freedom from material life. So therefore then, Kashyap Muni immediately gives the solution that you don't have to think of anything mundane, some mundane solution to get to your problem, to solve your problem. Rather, you must execute undivided devotional service to the Supreme Lord. This is what he told to Aditi. But because Aditi could not appreciate that, because Lord Vishnu only killed her sons, right? Therefore, she was not so agreeable. But rather, Kashyap Muni indirectly gave the process of devotional service so that in the course of following this process, she would become gradually purified. Therefore, in the case of Diti, she got these sons who were just reinserted to the position of demigods. But in case of Diti, because she executed the pure devotion, undivided devotional service under the instruction of her husband, she received the opportunity of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamandev, as her son. So same process of devotional service works differently for different people according to their levels of receptivity. And therefore Prabhupada would say that, even Sanat Kumar was mentioning last Sunday, that the wood, the dry wood, when it comes in touch with fire, it immediately catches fire and completely reduces this wood to ashes. But the same fire, if it is brought in contact with a moist or a wet piece of wood, then it will not catch fire, or it will catch fire to the degree that it is moist. Therefore, some time goes, there is some energy which is taken just to draw that moisture from the wood. And therefore, we find that the process of devotional service is taking some time. Why? Because the moisture is still there, the identification is still there, the tendency to enjoy this material world is still there. Therefore, unless everything is evaporated, everything is completely extracted, it is not going to be possible to burn or to light up the wood. Therefore, in case of Dhruva Maharaj also, he received it, but later on regretted. Had I taken it with a pure motive, I wouldn't have to. And therefore, Dhruva Maharaj regretted that he had to rule for 36,000 years. So he lost 36,000 years, and then he got the favor of the Lord as being reinstated in Dhruva Loka. So this is sure that there is no other solution than to completely take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And therefore Suniti says, go to the forest. Because Suniti was telling Dhruva that even I cannot help you. Immediately here Kashyap Muni, Prabhupada will say in the further purports, that Kashyap Muni's first instruction is that you immediately take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perform devotional service. And he does not say that I can help you. Rather, he says that Krishna will help you. And therefore, when someone comes to us for getting some solution to a problem, it's not we are going to help them. We have to inspire them to take the process of Krishna consciousness. And our assistance is just to help that person take Krishna consciousness very sincerely. So here we find that again, Dhruva Maharaj is being told by Suniti, I am a woman and I am not capable of solving a problem. Even your father does not approve of my opinion. So rather you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which actually Suruchi told you. And therefore indirectly Suruchi also is your Pad Pradarshak Guru. Take it seriously. Go to the forest and you will find the Supreme Lord and he will fulfill all your desires. Don't worry, for you are assured, because in the previous ages Lord Brahma also perform austerities and receive the favor of the Lord. What to speak of Lord Brahma, even your grandfather Swayambhuva Manu perform austerities and he achieved material opulence and liberation and happiness in this world and in the next. Therefore you must also follow this. And therefore Prabhupada, and Suniti says also that one must follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Suniti says to Dhruva that the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. Therefore, even if we have someone, a material, a relative, he may be affectionate to us, but the Supreme Lord is unlimitedly affectionate and tender in his dealings. Therefore, Kashyap Muni did not become Jagat Guru. Okay, I am your guru. But rather he said that, I will advocate the cause of Vasudev, and thus he became automatically a Jagat Guru. So this way, just by adding Krishna as the main ingredient, as the main shelter for life, one can easily surmount all problems. A very nice story that I was just reading, that once upon a time there was an old man who had a property, and he had 20 fine horses. And his 20 fine horses, they were to be inherited by his children. So he made a will that half of my horses, and there were 19 of them, right? Half of my horses must go to my son. One fifth, one fourth of the total lot of the horses must go to the village temple. And remaining one fifth must go to the village for the village cause. So all the people assembled that how his will can be executed. 19 horses divided by 2 is 9.5. Right? Horses do not run in integers and decimals. They are whole numbers, right? Like 1, 2, 3, etc. So all the villagers were confused. What to do now? How to actually execute the will of this old man? And then as they were trying and trying hard to decipher, finally they found, after 2 weeks, a wise man riding on a horse came to the village. And they asked him, "Sir, we have a problem at our hands." Like, when you have a problem that you cannot solve, you go to a wise person automatically. He's called expert, he's called consultant, business expert in corporate terms basically. Consultant, they generally they know the situations. So this wise old man came and said, "Not a problem, easy solution." "Okay, where are those 19 horses?" "Went to the stable, lined all those 19 horses in one row, got off his own horse, lined his own horse also at the end of the 19 horses. Said, "Okay, now count half of it." "How much is half?" 10. "Okay, give it to the son. Finish." "How much is the temple?" 1/4. "Okay, 5. Let it go to the temple." "And how much is the remaining?" 1/4. "How much is 1/4? Of, sorry, 1/5. 1/5 is 4 of 20. "Give it to the village, the village property." And then all 19 were distributed. And the last horse which remained was his own horse. He took it and said, "Okay, I'm going." Finish. Problem solved. Such an easy solution. Why didn't you think of it before? Similarly, and as he spoke these few wise words to these villagers. And he told them, so when we are having always a very impossible problem to solve, this one horse is compared to like the one, or Krishna, or the holy name of Krishna. Just add the holy name of Krishna when you have a problem. And Prabhupada would say that all the times. And when you have a problem that you cannot solve, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, when I have a lot of challenges, I just chant Hare Krishna loudly. And especially when the Jew temple episode was going on, devotees would find that Prabhupada was in so much of anxiety getting this land, to so much of this negotiation. Finally, Prabhupada would pace, fast, walk up and down, and would be chanting Hare Krishna very loudly. And therefore Prabhupada said, just the solution is that whenever you have a problem, chant Hare Krishna. One disciple asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what if we have a problem and we have no guidance and the spiritual master is not around? How to get guidance?" Prabhupada said, "Chant Hare Krishna very sincerely and all the answers will come from within." Right? Krishna will guide. But this is what Prabhupada said, and therefore it became true. It is true. And then finally this wise man also said, similarly add in your life the main ingredient, that is loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with true devotion. And just like when you add this, the problem is like ice, but when you add the heat of the devotional service, then what it happens, the ice starts to melt. It becomes water. And when the constant application of heat is there, it evaporates into steam and the problem is no more existing. But this process of taking shelter has to be taken with a particular attitude. Right? The attitude is most important. And the attitude is that of sincerity, of purpose, dedication, with complete faith in the process. And that is compared to like a boat. Suppose we have the process as compared to the boat, but we don't have that attitude. It's like a boat without water. That is boat which is on the land. You try to pull the boat on the land and it takes a huge amount of effort to tug the boat, to just pull it. It requires a lot of people, a lot of energy, a lot of ropes. But when you pull the same boat on water, it plies very smoothly and effortlessly by one person and two oars, that's all. Similarly, if we have this attitude of being sincere, completely dedicated to the process and having complete faith and conviction in the process, then the process will work. It is not that the process is enough, but this attitude along with the process has to go hand in hand. And this is what Kashyap Muni says. To have this attitude of non-enviousness, to be always well-wishing for others, and in this way, this attitude of performing devotional service is also very important. Again, here we find that Diti's eagerness, the attitude of eagerness and complete obedience and faith is exemplified here. And she is telling the exact words, like she is telling, please let me know what to do. Is exactly what Krishna, is exactly what Arjuna telling Krishna. Karpanya dosha apata subhama prichami tvam dharma samudacheta. Yashreha syan nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham sadhitvam mam prapannam. Please tell me for nishchitam what I have to do. And because I am to now act like your shishya, your disciple. And I am no longer your friend. And here also we find that Diti is addressing her husband as not her husband, but she is addressing Kashyap Muni as Brahman. Bruhi karyani, dharishe vratam Brahman. Oh my dear Brahmana, I accept you as my spiritual master. So kindly guide me. And that is when actually things start working. The process of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide guru makes it more tangible and more realistic. So this is what we find also in the case of Dhruv Maharaj. When Dhruv Maharaj was honestly following the instructions of Narad Muni to chant the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but with a metal desire in his heart, nevertheless he faithfully executed the process. So we find that the shelter is pointed, the problem is the identification, the shelter is the solution, and how to apply that shelter is that with the attitude. And Srila Prabhupada gave many ingredients of this attitude. One is eagerness, one is sincerity, dedication, faith. But apart from that, another very important ingredient is patience, dhairya. And once upon a time, a disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how is that we are situated on a transcendental position, but sometimes we are affected by the modes of material nature? Like one devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what to do? Actually, sometimes we are in Maya. Prabhupada said, no. Mostly you are in Maya. Sometimes you are in Krishna. So don't think that you are sometimes in Maya. So even that to think is Maya, that you know, I only get affected, you know, on and off sometime. But the contamination is there. As soon as you are in this atmosphere, the material contamination is there. What to do? How to overcome? We are situated in a transcendental position. Prabhupada said, just by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one will surpass all the mental, intellectual levels and one will rise to the spiritual platform. So we are situated on the spiritual platform when we are chanting Hare Krishna, but we still get affected by the modes of nature. So Prabhupada, what to do? And Prabhupada gave a very expert reply. Prabhupada said, just like you are on the boat, and boat is in the ocean. So what do you expect? Waves will come, waves will rock the boat, and you are on the boat, so you'll also be rocked. So definitely you cannot say that you are not on the boat. And you cannot also discard the fact that the waves are not rocking the boat. The both things are happening. But now, It's a different thing because now you're situated on a transcendental boat. So there is one advantage. It is a special boat, right? There are no problems with the boat, just like Titanic. And recently we find that the designer of the Titanic claims to be have reincarnated. And he was telling that it was not the flaw of the design, it was the the miserliness of the contractors or the ship owners who compromised with the design and just, you know, trying to save some money. So even if the people claim that this unsinkable ship, right, still in the material world everything is sinkable, but the transcendental boat is not sinkable. So the boat is perfect, but the waves are rocking. And Prabhupada said, now you become an expert boatman, right? And generally when you have experience of rowing, typically I just share my experience, if there is some kind of waves coming, suppose your boat is plying and there are waves coming parallel to the boat that you are driving and you are plying, if you just continue without changing your situation or direction, you will be rocked very heavily, because it'll come this way and it'll rock the boat. But if you just take a turn, if you just move the boat perpendicular to the rocking waves, then the waves are not going to rock the boat as much as you were previously rocking, because now the boat is perpendicular, because the area, right, the surface area which is exposed to this water is very less and it is streamlined. Therefore, you have decreased the surface area of this contact with the rocking waves. Therefore, you have the same boat, but now you are less rocked. Prabhupada said, become an expert boatman. Not like this, right? People are also driving boats, like flying boats, but not this kind of boatman. Prabhupada said, what is required to become an expert boatman? This disciple asked. Prabhupada said, by becoming one, enthusiastic. Second, sincere. Third, confident. Third, fourth, determined. And finally, Prabhupada said, and most important of all, patience. Prabhupada said, after pause, and said, and you must be patient. Everything will come in due course of time. Just like the wood is moistened right now. So it will take some amount of heat to extract the moisture from the wood. And one must not become impatient. And therefore Prabhupada also told one of his disciples that he must not become discouraged even if results are not coming, but rather go on applying the process of Krishna consciousness steadily. And therefore only one way that we have to take care is not to become disconnected from Krishna or from the process of Krishna consciousness. This one disciple was being asked by Srila Prabhupada at the final moments, and Prabhupada said, I ask you of one thing, never leave me. Right? And they said, yes Prabhupada, I will never leave you. Prabhupada said again, never leave me. Prabhupada said, yes, I heard, I will never leave Prabhupada. What actually Prabhupada meant was that one should not be indifferent to the instructions of the spiritual master, which will cause him to actually leave the spiritual master even when he is physically present. So this vani is more important, and instructions of the spiritual master can actually ply this boat across this ocean of material existence. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Germany with his very new disciple Shivananda Prabhu, and Prabhupada told him to show him the harbor. Harbor means where the ships are docked in the bay. And Prabhupada went to this place, and it was called the S-Bond, and the place where, and there Prabhupada was standing on the docks, and Prabhupada was seeing that a small motor boat was pulling a huge ship. And Prabhupada asked, how is this? And Shivananda Prabhu said, Prabhupada, before the the ships enter the harbor, they have to turn off the engines, right, so that they can be parked properly. And when the engines are turned off, a small motor boat also can tug a huge ship. Prabhupada said, similarly, if we pull or we disconnect the motor, the supply of the current of Krishna consciousness, then what will happen? Even a small deviation or small illusory attraction of Maya will easily pull us, the shore of this material existence, back again. And therefore Prabhupada said, never pull, never become this, never turn your Krishna conscious engines off. Turn your engine of Krishna consciousness, keep it always on. If it is turned off, then even a small boat, even a small Maya, like Bharat Maharaj, small Maya, dear, most unexpected form where the Maya could come, just pulled the advancement of a great liberated, a person who was just about to be liberation, on the cusp of liberation, back into the material existence to be again take birth as a deer. And therefore Prabhupada says, take to the process of Krishna consciousness as given by the spiritual master and follow steadfastly. But then the last step is that of training. One has to be properly be trained up, and therefore it is important to undergo the training. And Prabhupada would often train his disciples, personally instruct them, show him by his example. And once upon a time his disciple was becoming very unsteady and says that, Prabhupada, actually there is nothing happening here, Amsterdam, I'll go to some other place. And Prabhupada wrote this, a very nice letter, very nice. Prabhupada would write these letters and instructions time and again. It was like personal training. Imagine, it is a very difficult thing to write a letter, to think according to a disciple's needs or disciple's concern, actually what he needs, and communicate to him powerfully. This was what Prabhupada did. He ran the whole mission without email, internet or mobile phones, right? Just by letters. And these letters, it was amazing. We don't have the patience to receive the letters now. Oh, when is the letter coming? Okay, give me some courier or something like that. But there were no couriers at that time. So the disciple would be patient enough to receive the letter. And the Prabhupada said, if you travel, that is, this disciple wanted to travel to various places and preach, rather than being in one place. See, Prabhupada said, if you travel, then you will earn $12. But if you sit in one place, you will get $13. Not understood properly. Prabhupada said, just as I sat in one place, 22nd Avenue, and I simply sat and chanted Hare Krishna and just remained in that place for some time, and immediately results started coming. So why are you getting impatient? You be there, chant Hare Krishna, and things will happen. This is how we actually trained his disciples. And sometimes he would chastise his disciples, right? Seems to be a very trivial thing. In Vrindavan, in Krishna Balaram Mandir, these bells ring at every hour. Suppose it's 9 o'clock. So when it rings, the bell will ring 9 times. And Prabhupada would be about to take rest at the night. And then at around midnight, Prabhupada would be awake, because everyone else would be sleeping and Prabhupada would be awake. And then Prabhupada would say to his disciple, and would ask him, can you hear something? And his disciple said, no, Prabhupada, I cannot hear anything. Are you hearing something? And he said, no. Exactly, that's what I'm telling. There is nothing to be heard because it's 12 o'clock and there are no bells ringing. Therefore, there is no sound. Therefore, the chowkidar is sleeping. Go, wake him up. Right? And Prabhupada called temple presidents to wake and do that. I mean, like, it was the height of the thing that Prabhupada, and then why Prabhupada making a fuss of such a small thing? It's just the chowkidar sleeping and it's not ringing the bell. It's good. Today we are able to sleep peacefully. The bell is not ringing. And Prabhupada said, if you cannot manage this small thing, how can you manage a whole temple and a guest house? And therefore Prabhupada was very concerned about small details. And small details were not neglected by Prabhupada. Okay, the principle is taken care of, the details are gone. sometimes Prabhupada would see water dripping from taps in Mayapur. And Prabhupada would call the manager, sannyasi, disciple, and chastise him there. Do something about this. You are wasting Krishna's energy. This and many other things, Prabhupada would train disciples in deity worship to be very conscious of what they were doing. It was not the process, it was the consciousness involved in that process which was so important. And Prabhupada was trying to give them Krishna consciousness. He had given them a devotional program, but now he was also training them to fill in that consciousness within that devotional program. And therefore he was always trying to guide his disciples in small matters. And therefore he would guide them how to defeat challenges on morning walks, where Prabhupada said, okay, I play the devil's advocate and you play the defendant. And that's how Prabhupada would teach them how to defend the process of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So this is what we find, that these four aspects are very important to obtain any solution. First stage is to identify the root of the problem. Second is to take shelter of Krishna and no one but Krishna. Thirdly, to execute it with a sincere, enthusiastic, dedicated, confident and determined, and last but not the least, a patient attitude. And finally, one must be trained under the guidance of a proper authority to execute this process very effectively. One must take the training, one must be willing to undergo the training. And therefore we find that this one very good quality of Diti is being glorified here in the purport of Srila Prabhupada. And that is what her faith in her husband, unflinching faith in her husband, and her eagerness to simply follow the authority without question. That was one of the biggest qualifications of Diti, which actually neutralized all her disqualifications. Therefore Prabhupada said, actually, my disciples, like once Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a dream when he was undergoing an operation, that all the acharyas came and they were asking some report, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Prabhupada was giving the report, and Prabhupada said in that, and Prabhupada was giving the report, and Prabhupada said, actually all of these disciples, all of my disciples, they are useless, but they are only one qualification, they simply follow me. They are all nuts, Prabhupada said, they are all disqualified. Only qualification that I have created the qualification in you, and you accepted that qualification. Therefore, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, that's right. That's absolutely true. And how this quality actually helps of faithful following of one's authority and following in spiritual life is very wonderful. And we'll just take this theme briefly. And Prabhupada said, a perfect leader is a perfect follower. That means he follows perfectly and therefore he becomes a leader. And once Prabhupada was one of our lady disciples was arranging a table, and she was arranging some lamp and she was putting it somewhere, and Prabhupada said, place it before Prabhupada. And she was confused. Place it before Prabhupada means Prabhupada is here. Where to place it? And Prabhupada said, pointed out to the picture of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, just as you have your Prabhupada, I have my Prabhupada. Therefore, Prabhupada always never forgot. He didn't think, I am Prabhupada. But he always felt, it is that I am offering all the worship of my disciples to my spiritual master. Like always the disciples would be very much reverently offering their homage to Srila Prabhupada, but the parents, when they would come, they would find it a little awkward. They never followed me so strictly. How they are following this person? How they are worshipping this person? So they would ask this question. Why are they worshipping you in such a gorgeous way, in such a magnanimous way? Prabhupada said, nothing. I also worship my spiritual master similarly. And Prabhupada just diffused the whole thing. Said, just as they are offering all respect to me, I am simply offering all that respect to my spiritual master. And therefore, I am a transparent via medium. Once upon a time, a reporter asked, so Swamiji, why have you come to this land of America? Prabhupada said, I've come here to give you what you have forgotten, love of God. Oh, so you claim to give love of God? So you say that you are the Messiah? Prabhupada said, yes, I am the Messiah. So, God has sent you? Prabhupada said, no. My spiritual master has sent me. I am the Messiah of my spiritual master. And Prabhupada was all willing, all giving credit to his spiritual master. He said, I just came here to this land of America and I did not perform any magic. I did not bribe all of these people to chant Hare Krishna and become so dedicated. I simply presented what Krishna spoke and I never added anything or subtracted. That is my credit. My credit is not that what I have done. It is the credit that I have simply presented what the parampara has offered. And therefore, this is what Prabhupada taught, that a leader has to be a perfect follower. And it is showing all the qualities of this perfect disciple. And then one of the other purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one must never put an argument to the spiritual master or the spiritual authority. And Prabhupada said one must accept all instructions without argument and without resentment. And that meant actually that one should be a yes man. Yes, it will be done. How it has to be done is the responsibility of the disciple. But it has to be done. He cannot say, it is not possible. Prabhupada mentions that it cannot be said like that. One has to execute the order of the spiritual master. Like once upon a time when Prabhupada was traveling from Amritsar and this wonderful incident happened, that already there were 10 hours on the way away from Amritsar, and Prabhupada was hungry. And Prabhupada lady disciples came at that time, and Yamuna Mataji and Kaushalya Mataji, and Prabhupada told, can you get some hot rice for me? And she said that, Prabhupada, hot rice, you want hot rice? Oh yes, if you can get it cooked somewhere. And they were like, they were on a train, it was a running train, it was not halting at some place. So they said, yes Prabhupada, we'll arrange for you. And they got into anxiety, how to get the hot rice? So they went to the pantry, the kitchen, and it was all huge pots, stove, used stoves, and they asked the person, the kitchen manager, so our Swami, our Guru is here, and we want to cook some hot rice for him, so please allow. And they said, no, we cannot cook here. And they tried a lot. So then Yamuna Mataji went to the conductor, the attendant on the train in charge, and she literally pleaded. And then finally she said, if you don't allow me to cook, then I'll jump off from this running train. And this person became, okay, no problem, we'll arrange for you. So they went to the kitchen and said, okay, done, you can cook. And they cooked and they brought wonderful hot rice for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada ate it all. But this was not the end of the yes man. Again, we found that Prabhupada the train stopped at New Delhi station, and one well-wisher came to Prabhupada, and his name was D.D. Gupta. And he talked to Prabhupada in Hindi and offered sweets and everything. And then he told something about, something was talking to Srila Prabhupada in Hindi. And then Gurudas Prabhu was there and he was feeling, I am so happy, I am with my spiritual master for 10 hours. Now it is more time and Prabhupada is talking about weather and all these things, nice things. So now we are looking forward for the journey after the train starts. Prabhupada will give his association, intimate association. And Prabhupada said to Gurudas Prabhu, as the train was about to leave, get off from here. Prabhupada was shocked what happened. Get off from here and see what you can do. Talk to this D.D. Gupta. He has a plan to preach Krishna consciousness in Delhi, so get down. And like, they had no idea what was happening. Suddenly, it was a shock. But then, what was their spirit? Yes, Prabhupada. They never said, no, Prabhupada. They said, yes, Prabhupada. And what they said, Prabhupada, can you arrange for some more devotees to be along? Okay. Yamuna Mataji and some other disciples, Giriraj Prabhu at the time, Maharaj, and then they all went. And that's how they surrendered. And that is what we found, that without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot make any tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness. One disciple wrote to Srila Prabhupada about his progress in preaching in Amsterdam and everything, Holland. And then he wrote everything. And it was all the book publishing that was going on. So Prabhupada wrote in the letter, replied back, that actually I can't understand all those things that is written here. But one thing I have seen, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, your program will be successful. Because you have completely trying to dedicate the mission of my spiritual master. And therefore Prabhupada said, it will be done, you'll be successful. Similarly, Prabhupada tomorrow is also a very wonderful occasion of the appearance of Srila Jiva Goswami. And we find this character in Jiva Goswami so ingrained. A lot to speak about Jiva Goswami, how he was the nephew of Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, the son of Anupam. And right in childhood, he saw the vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in Sankirtan when he was with their uncles. And this was so attracted to them, and all time long in his infancy was thinking of meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to worship the Krishna Balaram deities and used to pray that let me get the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then also he wanted to meet and associate with his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So in a dream, one day, as he was weeping and crying, in his dream he actually saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with hundreds of devotees. And then the dream vanished. And then as he woke up, he was again crying and weeping. And as he slept again, this time Krishna Balaram came in his dream and they transformed them into Gaur Nithai dancing. And they instructed him that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Jiva Goswami to take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu in Navadeep. And that's how Jiva Goswami goes to Navadeep and takes, and Nityananda Prabhu mercifully takes him to a parikrama of all the nine islands. And then on Srila Nityananda Prabhu's instruction, he goes to Vrindavan en route. He visits Varanasi where he takes guidance and learning under Madhusudan Vachaspati, becomes well versed in the scriptures. And as soon as he enters Sri Vrindavan Dham, he is greeted by all the Goswamis. Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugar Goswami. And they all welcome this young Jiva. And Sanatan Goswami ordered Jiva Goswami to take guidance and training under Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami was a scholar, a great scholar of Sanskrit. He had taken a very erudite in his learning. But Rupa Goswami trained Jiva Goswami in very humble menial services like making garlands or bringing water for the deities or making the bhoga for the deities, or sometimes he would engage in some humble menial service of cleaning, and he would engage Jiva to make the pencils for writing on the palm leaves and to prepare the palm leaves. This was his service. Rupa Goswami gave him very humble menial services. And once this one Digvijay Pandit came to Rupa Goswami and he was in a challenging mood. And he said, if you want to fight in debate, we are ready, or else just sign that you have accepted defeat. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami did not want to bother with all this mundane scholarship. He said, where is the patra, Vijay Patra? We'll just sign it. And they just signed it. And then he went to Jiva Goswami and said, okay, your uncles have accepted defeat. Would you like to challenge me to a debate? It's impossible. Jiva Goswami thought, how can, out of humility, my uncles, they simply accepted defeat. But this is not the whole world should be understanding. Therefore, to protect the dignity of the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, let me defeat this Rup Narayan. And he defeated. And as soon as the news came that Jiva Goswami has defeated this Digvijay Pandit, Rupa Narayan, Rupa Goswami called Jiva Goswami and told, this Vrindavan is not a place for someone who has even a drop of false pride. So immediately leave Vrindavan. And at this moment, Jiva Goswami did not say, but Gurudev, actually I was trying to protect you, protect your honor, protect your dignity. Actually, Gurudev, I was trying to help your mission. How can you do this to me? Please try to understand me. He never said any of these justifications. He just left. And the whole world thought that Jiva Goswami is proud. Jiva Goswami went and actually he stayed in Mathura, and Sanatan Goswami came a month later and told, my dear Srila Rupa Goswami, I think you are forgetting one principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that is Jiva Doya. Why don't you show mercy to Jiva Goswami? That's how the glory of Jiva Goswami was broadcast to the whole world. How non-argumentative disciple and a humble, submissive, always willing to execute the order without interpretation, without justification. And that's how this wonderful character of Jiva Goswami. And another time also Jiva Goswami was banished when actually when Vallabh Bhatt came to Rup Goswami, and Rup Goswami gave his manuscript of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to edit, and Vallabh Bhatt came to the banks, and we found Jiva Goswami and found it. So my uncle has given you this manuscript of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to edit. So he started doing some corrections, and Jiva Goswami defeated all the corrections that Vallabh Bhatt made. So then Vallabh Bhatt understood that actually this is a great soul whose guru is, whose disciple is Jiva Goswami. How great must the spiritual master be? So then he begged forgiveness from Rupa Goswami and said, actually I am such a wretched person, such a great and qualified disciple. How can there be any errors in your compilation, which is pure, unalloyed devotion? So then Rupa Goswami called Jiva Goswami and said, how could you ever instruct a senior Vaishnava? He is senior to me. Therefore, you have no right to be here. You are banished. Again banished. Second time. Right? And this time, Jiva Goswami went to Nanda Ghat, where there is a crocodile. Actually, there was a crocodile hole. And he entered and remained in the crocodile hole and was weeping and crying. Not that my Guru Maharaj banished me, how can it be so much? But he was weeping out of his regret. And how could I ever offend my spiritual master and my spiritual master's equal or senior? So this one Babaji was always hearing the crying. And they would go and give some atta flour and mix with Yamuna water. And that was what Jiva Goswami was eating. He had ulcers in his stomach. He was emaciated. He was so much bereft of all his physical strength, but he was so humble, he did not want to come out of there. And Sanatana Goswami was once visiting that place. Some Babajis told that there is a Babaji who is in the crocodile hole. And then he went there and they found that he is Jiva. Again, Sanatana Goswami took Jiva back to Rupa Goswami and told to show compassion on Jiva. These were the tests which Jiva Goswami went through to become so glorified in his character as being humble, menial servant of his spiritual master. No arguments, always yes, and always ready to surrender. And this is a wonderful feature of Jiva Goswami we find. And then Srila Rupa Goswami benedicted him with so much of mercy. He carved a deity of Damodar and gave a gift to Jiva Goswami. And later on, Jiva Goswami preserved all the teachings of all the other Goswamis, and himself wrote composed 4 lakh original Sanskrit verses, which are a subject matter of study, right? Still in Varanasi, in BHU, Banaras Hindu University. And Prabhupada says, therefore, as a man cannot separate his life from the body, similarly a disciple cannot separate the order of the spiritual master from his life. And that was what he meant, Prabhupada, that a disciple considers the order of his spiritual master as his life and soul. That means he never separates the order from his life. And a glaring example is that of Bali Maharaj, who actually exemplified that surrender. And tomorrow also is Vaman Dwadashi, which is the appearance of Lord Vamandev. And he appeared to do a great favor, not to the demigods, but to Bali Maharaj. He made a greater favor to Bali Maharaj and made him more famous than the demigods, when actually he incarnated at the prayers of Aditi, the mother of the demigods, to reinstate or protect the demigods. But actually, Vamandev showed his great mercy by snatching away everything from Bali Maharaj. And this was his favor. And that is what sometimes Krishna does. He snatches away all the things so that one person becomes completely dependent on him. And Bali Maharaj, even of his stripped of all his opulences, in fact, Vamandev, from his first step, he covered all the surfaces of the earth and the sky. So, Prabhupada writes in the Parabhan that actually he just asked for steps of land. Why did he cover the sky? Actually, he covered the sky with his hands. So then Jiva Goswami writes in his commentary that actually, when a person stands on land, it's not that the land on which he stands, that much area is covered. The space that is covered by his body is also the space that is owned by him. Right? Similarly, Lord Vamandev just stood and just spread his hands, and that was all the sky that he covered. So it was all justified. And Bali Maharaj could see all the universes, all the creations, all the manifestations in the body of Vamandev. This made very clear to Bali Maharaj that everything already belongs to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, I actually don't own anything. And then the second step, he covered the upper planetary systems. And then Vamandev said, now you have broken your promise. You cannot give me three steps of land. Therefore, you are a prisoner. And was immediately bound up in the ropes of Varuna. But Bali Maharaj was not so easily giving up and not being defeated. Not because he was humiliated and embarrassed in front of his juniors, his wife, and his ex-spiritual master, Shukracharya, whom he actually just rejected before giving promise to Vamandev. But rather, he was so grateful to Vamandev for having taken away everything, just actually so that he could realize that how the Lord was so favoring. He said, sometimes a child is punished by their mother and father, but the punishment that you have given me is something more than what a mother and father can give. That means you are more merciful than even a mother or father. Because a mother and father chastises the children out of welfare for the child. But you have given me such a punishment that even a mother and father cannot give. Therefore, you are the supreme well-wisher of mine. Therefore, I am not going to give up my reputation as being one who has been not able to fulfill his promise. But rather, I am going to fulfill the promise that I have given to you. Please keep your third foot on my head. Because I still consider that this body belongs to me, and myself or the possessor of the possessions is greater than the possessions that he possesses. Therefore, the body is actually what I own. It's still mine. Please take this. This is also yours. And that's how Bali Maharaj gave his life and soul in service. He promised to the Supreme Lord and he fulfilled it. Similarly, a spiritual master has been promised by his disciples that he follows his instructions, and when he actually fulfills his promise is then when the mercy is showered upon him. And sometimes that mercy comes in very very shocking and surprising ways. But definitely, if the disciple is sincere, he will realize that mercy. And that is how Lord Vamandev made Bali Maharaj more famous than the demigods. And that's how we realize that this is the wonderful meditation of an ideal disciple, and how the character of an ideal disciple should be from the case of Jiva Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and also in case of Diti, when she faithfully worshipped the instructions of her husband. So with this, we'd like to conclude. Since it is already late, we'll conclude here. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.